Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
This show is supported by generous listeners like you through our Patreon. This episode was underwritten by Tamsin G Association and Chris Giddings. To learn more about ways to support Oh My Dollar and get cool perks like exclusive live streams and a fancy special icon on our forums, you can visit ohmydollar.com/support.
Welcome to Oh My Dollar, a personal finance show with a dash of glitter. Dealing with money can be scary and stressful. Here, we give practical, friendly advice about money that helps you tackle the financial overwhelm. I'm your host, Will, and here's your host, Lillian Kerbick.
Do you have two hosts? Just in case you were wondering.
We have two hosts. He's your other host.
Before we dive into today's episode, I wanted to just give folks a quick reminder that Oh My Dollar's cat-filled personal finance book, A Cat's Guide to Money, is going into the second printing, and we need your help to make that possible. We're launching on Kickstarter, and we just went live. You can back the project and see our budget-friendly planners and more, and watch the video at ohmydollar.com/cats.
Nice.
All right. So, Will, this is one of those things where I brought it up because I'm processing one of my own money things. Mm-hmm. And then I actually found it a really interesting discussion. So I thought it would be good for the podcast. But I've mentioned this briefly before, but I went back to figure skating after a 15-year break last month.
I've been seeing lots of Instagram videos of you spinning around and leaping about.
Yes, yes. Lots of those. And I used to be a competitive skater. Luckily, I had parental payment for the skating. Mm-hmm. And nowadays it's on my own back. It's a really expensive hobby. Figure skating is like, it's not quite up there with horseback riding, but it's pretty high up there as far as like an expensive hobby that you can do. And there's ways to reduce costs. But I had to really, really contemplate whether or not I wanted to spend money on this hobby, right? Back when I was doing it, there was this idea that I was like working towards a certain kind of competitive track. And it felt less like a hobby because it was partially a vocation. That is not so true nowadays as an adult.
You haven't been pursuing your career as a skater as much.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Now it purely is a hobby. And I think hobbies are one of those mysterious things that we know other people spend money on. Like, but unless we're actually in the hobby, we don't really know how much they spend on them. So we see their weightlifting competitions on Instagram or the summits that they've hiked up or their fancy new DJing setup. But we don't really know what it actually costs. All we see is that little square that we scroll past on Instagram. And but it costs real money. It is a real cost for people. And if you've gotten to the point where you feel like you, have a little more money to spend to bring some happiness to yourself, hobbies might be a place to spend it in. So it costs real money to do Taekwondo or throw pottery or learn Krav Maga or brew your own beer or knit fancy scarves, any of those things. So I actually was really fascinated by this, and I brought it to the Oh My Dollar community to ask about hobbies, including asking people like, do you have hobbies that actually save you money or are totally free? Like, not all hobbies are spendy, but like, what do you average on it? And I think hobbies are, we talk all the time about like getting value from your money and getting happiness from your money as opposed to just viewing it as numbers through the screen. And there's some research that was published by the Society for Personality and Social Psychology that said that valuing your time more than the pursuit of money leads to greater feelings of well-being.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So like valuing your time means spending wisely on hobbies, exercising, being with your family, those kind of things. And this is also one of the things we see even in like the more high income communities of people that are looking at early retirement. If you're looking at early retirement, you have to have something to do once you retire.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? and so especially in like the early retirement kind of frugality communities, people will just work really hard and they'll strip their lifestyle down you know, to facilitate just making as much and saving as much money as possible in order to hit that financially independent, retired early mm-hmm. kind of number. And then, like, they leave their job and the vacuum opens before them.
Right. You got to figure out what to do with your time. Yeah.
What did I do? Oh, all I did was work to save money, which is no shade at choosing to do that. But I think hobbies are, it's one of those things that, like, building your life around it can make you live a happier life, frankly. So. And that's just, you know, that's part of this whole money thing, right? Pro tip. You want to be secure. You want to be safe. You want to live according to your values. You want food in your mouth and shelter over your head, and you need something to do. So so I asked people on the Oh My Dollar community what their spending hobbies are, if they had kids and activities. And I was really eager to see how other people prioritized their hobbies in their budget, or if maybe they had ones that saved them money. The thing that people probably spent the most on, I mean, there was a huge array of different types of hobbies, but overwhelmingly, which might speak to the kind of people on the Oh My Dollar forums, was like fitness / athletic hobbies. Mm. Some of them kind of fit into like a more general wellness category, but there was a bunch of different ones. So our first example is from Brackenjoy on the forums.
Brackenjoy says, me, yoga, $80 a month. Husband, Brazilian jiu-jitsu. $150 a month. Ouch. We also buy some gear for him and pay for periodic competitions, so I'd guess another $150 to $200 a year.
So that's coming up in the figure skating range of costs.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, that's probably largely going towards space rental and instructor fees.
Yeah, I'd imagine. And like, I don't know, cleaning geese, right?
Those
Lady Duck says she does Tai Chi, which is $500 Australian dollars a year. But it's more kind of mental and physical health management for her than a hobby, so to speak.
Yeah, we were arguing earlier over where to draw the line for a hobby.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I think Tai Chi counts. I don't know. I feel it in my gut.
That it's a hobby?
Yeah. It's like pornography. You know it when you see it.
Will has like strong ideas about what's a hobby.
I do. I can't define it, but I will tell you. I will evaluate each one of these as they come.
CKNI27 said, pre-baby, my spending was on spinning, indoor cycling. I think I paid $120 a month for unlimited classes, and I went 4 to 5 times a week. Hot yoga for $45 a month was someone else's, which I don't. That sounds like a really good deal for hot yoga.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's much less than the spinning.
Maybe that's not an unlimited package. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've obviously talked a lot about like calculating out the cost per use when it comes to things like gym memberships. And it seems like a lot of the people that feel like their fitness membership falls into the hobby category is folks that have maybe those more expensive memberships or more specific ones.
Yeah,
but
specific
but they
fitness.
Go a lot more often than maybe they do to like Planet Fitness or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, I'd agree with that.
This is a hobby that I've always been really curious about. Kristen says, I play tennis regularly, as does my husband. We belong to a tennis club that costs $150 a month. They also have a pool. So in the summer, my kids swim there pretty regularly. I play 4 or so days a week, and my husband plays twice. They also have a workout room that I use maybe 1 or 2 times a month. $120 a month for lessons, usually about 3 to 4 group lessons a month at $35 a class. $30 to $50 a month per miscellaneous. I play in leagues that costs about $30 a season. I also have to buy balls, bring snacks to home matches, have my racket restrung about every 4 months, and buy new shoes about every 6 months. I also belong to a gym for $150 a month. I average around 20 classes a month, so it costs between 7 and 8 a class. So sounds like spending on fitness is like a very big part of their expenses.
Yeah. Though, I mean, a lot of these things, when you break it down per day or per class, it sounds more reasonable.
Yeah, exactly.
Greyweld rock climbs, so including parking for the rock gym, so $2 a visit or $16 a month at their average. But I usually carpool with my partner, so for my half, it's $8 a month. That plus equipment is $67 a month, which continues to decrease as I use my gear. Partner with an equal cost.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, gear you can use long-term and kind of decrease your per-use cost is interesting.
Do you want to know how expensive figure skates are?
Very.
Very expensive. And when you're really training a lot, you need to replace them about every year, but breaking in new skates is, like, miserable.
Mm-hmm.
So Nathan Chen actually competed at Worlds with duct-taped skates because he was so ready to not have to use his skates he'd only had for 6 weeks. He didn't trust them.
Makes sense, yeah. work with what works.
Yeah. Also, I mean, breaking new skates makes your feet bleed like a mofo.
All right. Well, here's another pricey one. Recreation averages $1,650 a year, says Crow. High was $3,000 twice. This includes about $450 a year for dance classes and $550 a year for a gym membership. The rest is mostly water sport related, such as boats, equipment, and sport-specific clothing.
Yeah, boats. That's an expensive hobby.
Yeah, boats are cool, though. That's my tick.
Boats are really pricey, though. You know, there's lots of jokes about boats as a great way to flush money away.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Another person said, I do triathlons and distance running events, and I spend about $200 a month in addition to a gym membership I'd have anyway. This includes travel for races, gear, nutrition, race entries. Expenses will fluctuate a lot depending on the events I'm doing. If I'm doing a full Ironman, for example, I'll be spending a lot more than if I'm just doing some half marathons.
Just some half marathons, yeah. My family does the marathon thing, and I avoided that weird genetic disposition.
I feel like you're so tall and thin that you would be a good runner.
Yeah, I like biking much better.
Yeah, I view it as much more efficient.
Wreck your knees by the time you're 30.
Yep.
It's faster. It's more fun.
The only
easier.
Reason I run is that biking is so efficient. It's not a very good workout. So when I run, it's just a way to be inefficient to burn more calories.
Yeah, I'm chasing a bus or something. That's really it. Being pursued by hounds. Three of Wands brought up wild swimming, partly because one of my favorite memories of my mother is that we couldn't pass a body of water without her grabbing the swimming costumes and insisting we have a dip, no matter that it's in Wales in March, and this makes me feel closer to her. The cost is technically free, and I can incorporate into the hiking because...
Thripmuir? Reserve. Reservoir.
Reservoir.
I don't know.
Something... It's in Wales, presumably.
Yes.
Yeah, swimming's free if you're swimming somewhere that's free.
Yeah. And like wild swimming, I think, is like, it's a different kind of hobby than like competitive swimming, right?
Right, yeah. You're not racing anyone. You're just getting in there.
Yeah. And it's more about like the location than it is about like how fast you're going.
Yeah. Three of Wands also said, continuing on, I usually stock up on 10 or 5 class passes for £50 or £100 when I get a freelance gig I haven't already budgeted on. Spend on spin class. In an ideal world, I'd be able to spend £1,000 on a yearly membership and then go whenever I wanted, probably a few times a week, but I do not live in that world yet. Also, they do really good yoga classes.
Yeah, that's one of the things that was like a marker for me when I could, like, as like a sign of success that I could just pay for the expensive unlimited membership and not have to, you know, like keep budgeting it out. This is another one I found interesting because I kind of view golf as something that like only fancy people do. But PBK Maine lives in a retirement community in Florida and says here in the villages, we have amenities fee of $149 a month. Exercise classes, all activities, and 9-hole golf courses are all included in that. It's not optional. It's one of the costs of living here. My principal hobby is golf. I play the 9-hole golf courses. Between the carts, lessons, and other fees, the cost per year for golf is $921 or about $77 a month, not including amenities fees.
Yeah, golf's an interesting one because it does have the pricey reputation. But there's also a lot of municipal golf courses that bring the price way down.
Yeah.
I was reading as part of an effort to democratize the game and make that hoity-toity action more accessible to the masses.
Right.
And I'm no good at golf. I've probably played 27 holes of golf in my whole life.
I like mini golf.
Mini golf's cool. I found golf mildly appealing. It's an excuse to like slowly walk around a nice lawn.
Yeah, I mean, they call it a long walk spoiled, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, it's interesting. Also, the PBK Maine pointed out that the reason that they rent a cart is because she plays with a lot of people in their 80s.
That makes sense.
So they pay for the cart rental rather than haul the clubs themselves. So camping and hiking was a big one that was kind of lower on the cost spectrum. So like kind of moving away from fitness, like fitness and like sports, we saw a lot of people spend money on and... often it was kind of on the higher end, even though there are like totally free ways to work out. But camping and hiking was something that a lot of people listed as a hobby, which is kind of fitness related, but also kind of traveling related.
Yep, I'll count it as a hobby.
Yeah. Oh, it's under Will's definition of a hobby.
This gets my stamp as a hobby. Yeah.
Elle says she spends about $200 Canadian a year on camping, while Brack and Joy says that she and her husband spend $36 a year on a wilderness parking permit. And they also spend some money on gas prices and some hiking shoes, plus camping
gear,
gas, propane for your stove, gear replacement, etc.
Backpacks.
Lil'Oreal. Oh, I don't know how to pronounce that.
Lil'Oreal.
Lil'Oreal says, in the summer, my partner and I hike, and that's $35 for the annual park pass, and maybe another $35 in increased gas costs to trails. And I needed new hiking shoes for the first time in 5 years last year, so $100
Yeah, so really just getting there is the big thing.
Yeah, and like replacing equipment as it fails. If you, I definitely, like, all of my camping equipment has been slowly upgraded as, like, you know, oh, I have a little bit of extra money, I will throw it at upgrading this one piece of equipment. Because I definitely didn't spend any money for my, like, original camping kit. And I've slowly gotten nicer and nicer
pieces. And most stuff will last you pretty well if you take care of it. I've still got a tent I've been using for, God, about a decade.
Yeah. My camp stove, which was like, I think I spent like $50 on it, which was a huge amount of money to me at the time.
Did you get a whisper light?
I do not have a whisper light because I wanted something that would burn fuel I could find anywhere in the world.
Oh, that's cool.
And I wanted something I could potentially fly with. And so I actually have one that burns denatured alcohol.
Nice.
I love it. It's just an excellent stove. It's probably one of the coolest ones. The only downside is it does take a long time to boil water compared to like a whisper light.
Yeah.
I got it back before I drank coffee in the morning. Now I'm a little more bitter about the fact that everybody else has their coffee done before I do.
Well, before, yeah, it's tough.
And Three of Wands said camping and hiking is a big hobby, but it pretty much pays for itself since campsites in Scotland only tend to cost a few quid for the night. And added, especially if you don't mind that they're in woods that are probably haunted.
Yeah, no, probably. That checks out. But good discount.
Yeah. So camping and hiking was a big one, and that was kind of in the like lower cost hobbies. Another one that was on the low end of cost was watching YouTube or Netflix and or participating in fandom, which is definitely a hobby for me.
Yeah, I'll count it.
I spend a ton of time watching YouTube, and while YouTube is free, I spend about $250 a year to support various YouTube creators via Patreon, merch, YouTube channel membership, stuff like that. DC Katie said, we don't have cable, but we have Netflix, Hulu, and Amazon, and Filmstruck before it went away, and we'll get the Criterion service when it launches. So $48 a month or so there, and now we're in a town with a great nonprofit cinema.
Oh,
so
that's cool.
We have a $90 annual membership plus about $30 a month in movie tickets.
That's pretty good. That sounds like a thorough hobby.
Yeah. Watching movies is one of those things where, like, I love watching movies, but it takes so much time. Like,
I don't watch a lot of movies for that reason as well.
It's very much a hobby.
I struggle to commit myself to watching something for 2 hours.
Yeah, totally. Or like three.
The movies are cool. I think that's more me than movies.
Three of Wands says that fandom is probably her biggest and most sedentary hobby and is also effectively free unless you count the many hours lost to staring at pictures of Miranda Otto.
Do we know who Miranda Otto is?
I'll put a picture in it. She's very pretty. I also spend a lot of time on fandom. In addition to watching YouTube, I read a lot of fan fiction, and that probably takes a fair amount of time. Got to keep those comments coming in on Archive of Our Own.
Yeah. Bikes. Bikes are a hobby, I guess. Bikes can be a hobby, but not everyone who bikes is a bike hobbyist.
Exactly. So this was a big, like, a lot of people mentioned it as a hobby, and it's totally a hobby for me. But I don't spend that much on it. I spend about $300 a year on biking and bike camping related expenses, other than the year I purchased my custom bike, which was
very pricey. Got a high entry cost.
Yeah.
Well, as high as you want it to be, entry cost. But then it is mostly upkeep. I don't know how. I guess $200 or $300 a year sounds about right.
Yeah,
for repairs.
That's like
new
repairs,
wheel here and there.
And then that's for me also things like purchasing
kits.
New fuel for bike camping, bike or hiker campsite fees, various things like that I use for bike camping. And it's not just bike camping. Like, I do a lot of bike stuff that is very, like, most of my social life came from bike stuff, like riding children's bikes down a giant hill every Sunday night.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
I led a very big ride for years called Bowie versus Prince that is, you know, a couple thousand people. And like, I consider that a hobby because it cost me money and also ate up a ton of time.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a hobby.
And I also like, I don't put costumes in the same category as biking, but I do like spend a fair amount of time sewing and making costumes for various bike rides during Pedalpalooza.
Okay. So bike related. We can count it.
Pedalpalooza is our big free bike, open source bike festival that happens here with like over 200 rides in a month. In Portland, and like, so, and I also go on a lot of bike moves, which is totally a hobby during the season when a lot of people are moving by bike. Like, it's a thing that I spend a significant amount of time doing on the weekends, and it's fun, it's social, but it is also hauling people's stuff between their houses.
That's a hobby if you're doing it for fun, I guess. Mountain Mustache 29 says, bikes are my main hobby. Besides the embarrassing amount of money each one of them costs, I probably spend about $100 a month on maintenance, gear, nutrition, etc. for racing and training. I work at a shop, though, so stuff is decently cheap, and I don't pay retail for bikes. I sell the bikes as well about every 2 years, and usually make enough to buy my next bike. So honestly, it's not a huge out-of-pocket cost. Well, it was the first time I bought a bike for $4,000. Mountain biking is my very favorite thing in the world to do, and it has taken me so many incredible places that it has been very worth it. It does leave very little extra money for any other hobbies, so the rest are all cheap/free.
Yeah.
Yeah. Though, I mean, like you were saying, biking does kind of enable a lot of other hobbies. It's a cheap way to get places often.
And I think like it, people that race bikes end up spending a lot more on biking
because they need faster bikes than other people.
Yeah. But like biking for me is my transportation, and bike touring is a lot cheaper than train tickets or even like driving to a park.
Yeah.
So it's actually a hobby that probably saves me money overall.
No, I agree. Also, that's my transit and my gym membership.
I am now old enough that I'm no longer able to use biking as my gym membership. I had the hubris when I was younger that I was like, oh, I don't need to worry about it. I bike everywhere. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that it's too efficient.
Yeah.
And so I have to work out on top of it.
Okay, I'm still 28.
It's coming up. It's creeping up on you.
It is. I'm 29 in mere months.
Months.
July 21st. Mm. Reading's a great cheap hobby.
A ton of people said that it was their hobby. Everything from fan fiction, which is obviously free, to getting books through their library, which also is free. Though a lot of people admitted that they collect a lot of books and then they kind of read down the stash for a couple years. Cost estimates ranged everywhere from $0 to $1,000 a year.
I wonder what I spent.
You read a lot, though.
I read a lot. I mean, most of my reading these days is on a Kindle, which I got used for $40, and I read a lot of older stuff that's open source and free online.
I get most of my ebooks. I also read mostly on my Kindle, and I get a lot of ebooks from the library because you can check out ebooks from library. And I would say like the vast majority of my ebooks I don't pay for anymore. But like when I lived in Germany, and you know, a lot of my like normal hobbies like bike moving and stuff like that didn't exist, and I also had a pretty long train ride every day, I probably spent, I would say, 30 or 40 euros a month on books on my Kindle, and I had zero regrets about it because I read like between five plus books a week. So
I have been looking at a Kobo reader, which is looks like a superior version of the Kindle and is not Amazon made,
right?
And linked, which I like. It's also waterproof and slightly larger.
The new Kindle is waterproof too, which is like,
I don't want to. Amazon does not need my money.
I
nor my data, I feel like, is the more concerning thing about this.
Right. I have been for years putting my Kindle in a plastic bag and taking it into the bathtub, and it used to have manual buttons, so you could just use the buttons on the side.
I'm still rocking the first generation one or whatever.
Oh my god, I've had so many of them destroyed. I think I got to the point where they kept, I was under warranty, but I think they replaced my original Kindle 5 times for free under warranty.
Yeah, they're reasonably cheap. I also, because we live right next to we live in the vicinity of the largest bookstore in the country, which is cool. Is that true? Swell's the largest bookstore in the country?
The largest independent bookstore in the country.
Largest independent used bookstore in the country. So I'll buy a bunch of Powell's books and then sell them back to Powell's sort of a for-profit library scenario. I also have a lot of roommate turnover sometimes, and definitely have turned a lot of former roommates' books into more books for me. It's a good, I like to keep the books rotating.
Yeah, yep. I read a lot of books I would not expect to read by getting them from like the hostel free piles mm-hmm. when I'm traveling, where I'll be like, sure, this looks sketch, but I'll read it anyway.
Oh yeah, so, I found some good stuff there for sure.
Yeah, I've also found some stuff I wouldn't classify as good, but I would classify as good enough entertainment for a
entertaining.
Train.
Yeah. All right, we're gonna talk more about hobbies when we get back.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
We're back. Still talking about hobbies.
We're still talking about hobbies, and I think this next one is going to test Will's definition of a hobby right here.
Yeah.
Food and drinks were, like, heavily in the category of people being like, this is, like, is this a hobby? Because obviously you need food for sustenance, but, like, I wouldn't consider the food that I eat a hobby because I'm not very fancy with my food. I eat the same thing for breakfast every morning. Mm-hmm. I make it in the Instant Pot. Like, you know, would you consider, like, Will, you were kind of saying that, like, food more than sustenance is a hobby, right?
Yeah, yeah. Buy that. I will evaluate these on a case-by-case basis.
Oh, I see. Based on the Will's court of whether or not something's a hobby. But, like, I go and get things that are not sustenance because I'm, like, trying to eat my emotions away. So I'll, like, go get ghost pepper chips from Trader Joe's 5 minutes before they close at night. Is that...
Not a hobby.
That's not a hobby?
Rejected. Okay. It's yeah.
That's its own thing food. I need to talk about with my therapist,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think a hobby would be if you were making your own ghost pepper chips.
Oh, that sounds like very bad for your eyes.
Yep.
Because we make our own hot sauce, but I don't really consider that a hobby either, because while it does take up time, the main reason we do it is because I eat so much hot sauce, it's too expensive to buy at the store.
Yeah, I think if you're doing it to save money, it's not a hobby.
I mean, yeah. It's like kind of fun. Rule. It takes up time, but I wouldn't consider it a hobby. I don't know. So this was kind of, the food category was split in between the camp of being a foodie and going to a lot of restaurants and then people that love to cook, some of which people were the same. G-Dog said, cooking may save money versus buying the same thing, but fancy cheeses are not cheap.
Mm-hmm. Meadowlark says, my most favorite thing in the world to do is hang out with my friends. Since that usually involves restaurant meals and alcohol, that is a lot. We average around $800 a month. My portion is less than half since I drink less alcohol than Stingray, presumably their friend or partner, and don't eat seafood or meat.
Ah, yeah. Aaron built a barbot, a robotic bartending machine, which definitely cost him more than just mixing his own cocktails, but we're not really sure if that falls under food, drinks, or under electronics.
Yes, all of the above.
Is that a hobby, Will?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, yeah. That's like certainly going above and beyond what you need to do to consume ethanol.
So, but DC alcohol. Katie says that cocktails are a really fun creative outlet for her. She loves making up new ones and trying to custom craft them for people's tastes. Katie said, we probably spend $75 to $100 a month on booze, and that may go up now with so many amazing breweries in our new town. I do not regret this.
Yeah. Hobby.
Is that a hobby? That's a hobby? Are you just biased because you also like good beer?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I think that's going to count as a hobby because I'm not doing that for
sustenance
and nutrition.
But you're not making it. I mean, you do also make beer. But like, but is drinking beer that you're not making, is that a hobby?
I think it depends on, like, if I were to hear about some new brewery that was making a cool Pilsner and go there to try their Pilsner and then talk about the Pilsner with some nerds, that sounds like hobby consumption. If I was, like, having a crappy day and wanted to consume alcohol,
then it's not.
And went and purchased just, you know, a Miller Lite from a dive bar.
Would you actually drink a Miller Lite from a dive bar?
Yeah.
Okay. I kind of thought maybe you were too much of a beer snob to do that.
No, good beer at dive bars is kind of a crapshoot because I feel like lines are often not as clean.
Yeah.
And things are just not going to be tasting good. No, I'll drink piss beer.
D. Diopson, who I really want to know how to pronounce your name because you're one of our Patreon supporters. But and I feel like you've been on the show. We've used your quotes on the show. So let us know how to pronounce your name. Says, eating out. I'm resistant to call this a hobby, but I think that's because I don't want to think of myself as spending $200 a month on a hobby. Yes, that's where it is.
I think I'm going to put the same qualifier for beer as food for hobby. Like if you're doing it for aesthetic enjoyment and you know your involvement in a scene versus like I need some calories to the restaurant. Yeah.
The burrito for lunch to eat at your desk at work is very different. As it's not a hobby.
Yeah, unless you've got like your burrito blog and you're like taking a nice picture of your burrito you're eating for work every day and getting it from a different place each day.
I mean, I took a picture of every single thing I bought for an entire year. So is everything a hobby because I blogged every single thing I bought for an entire year?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Good.
I'm going to stick with this definition.
Well, that's kind of interesting about what Cat Scratch said about it.
Cat Scratch said, for me, restaurant eating is usually linked to socializing, so it's performing an entirely different role in my life than groceries and cooking. Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like usually when I'm eating out, it is with friends. There's definitely those, I'm very hungry right now and need to eat something immediately so I can function moments. But yeah, I'd say for the most part, eating out intentionally is a social experience.
So our next biggest category. So fitness was our biggest category. And probably the next biggest category was making things, which is just a general title I'm going to use because, man, we have such cool people in the Oh My Dollar community. There's so many things I didn't even think of as ways to make things.
Mm-hmm.
So Oro said I spend $50 to $100 a month on art. Some months it's very little and other months I stock up, need to frame things, etc.
Yeah. Christy said, I'm a hobbyist game developer. When we're talking video games, it is a pretty cheap hobby. Yeah, that makes sense. I would own the hardware anyways, and I've spent literally $30 on software tools, except that now I'm part of the indie game dev scene, and I've ended up buying, kickstarting a lot more games. I have a $50 a month games budget. The scene's social events run me about $50 more, mostly in transportation to and from the events. I mean, that sounds like a hobby. You get into it, it's cheap, it's easy, and then you get deeper into it, and suddenly you're spending money on...
deeper and deeper.
Yeah. Continuing on, now I also make IRL games sometimes, like LARPs and escape rooms. That can be much more expensive because you need to construct physical props. For example, I bought a batch of custom fortune cookies containing encrypted messages that will lead you to a secret Twitter that is an in-fiction newsfeed for a project I'm currently developing. Could I have made them myself? I tried, and the answer is no. Fortune cookies are hard to make. I've actually wanted to try to make fortune cookies for a while.
Well, if you do, report back on the show.
Yeah, I will.
I feel like you've got a lot going on already with that Twitter newsfeed and the whole
escape room,
that maybe the fortune cookies don't need to be added to the list of things you need to make, right?
Mm-hmm. Cheese Cat said, I've recently started pottery for the fourth time in life. That's cool. Classes are $135 per eight-week session, but do not include clay, which is $25 per bag. I've only finished a few pieces this session and have recycled the rest back to clay to use during the next. I feel good about spending $20 per week. It's about what I would spend getting drinks with a friend, but this is a bit more productive, and I'm meeting new people in a low-stakes way.
That is one of the things I found about figure skating is I have this whole new circle of like friends, and I've been spending a lot of time whining that one, I'm like unmotivated and depressed and running a business and have to travel all the time. So I have less friends now, but also all my friends started having kids and there's just a different, like they have a way to meet people, right? Like kids are a social excuse, right? Like they've got their preschool and their soccer games and everything, and they meet this whole new group of people that share something with them, and now I'm meeting all these cool adults that are also figure skaters, and there's a whole social environment. And I also now have like a bunch of 12-year-olds that are subscribed to my YouTube channel that I've met through the rink, which is, you know, a thing I'm concerned about. But
no, that's cool. I guess most hobbies do come with that social aspect. I mean,
there was what Christy was saying
about meeting people and attending things, and there's what you're saying about the figure skating and then the pottery. Yeah, I mean, anytime you're with people with similar interests, I feel like things are ripe for friendship.
And I think that's the other thing is that like there's some hobbies that can be very solo, but as you were saying, like as you get deeper and deeper into them, then they open themselves up for more socialization. So one of the big hobbies that, like, overwhelmingly, it's actually such a big hobby that people ended up starting a works in progress for fiber arts. Mm. But in the making things category, so many people on the My Dollar forums are knitters, which is, like, obviously, like, pretty much a solo hobby, but if you're really into it, you hang out on Ravelry and you talk to other knitters and, like, you know, you do more and more of those things. You go to knitting conventions, so, like, mm-hmm. it's a different
kind.
You're
raising alpacas. Yeah, and yeah.
I can casually watch YouTube videos, or I can, like, go to meetups for fandom, and, you know, like, there's an entirely different kind of thing there. Yeah, so there was a ton of people knitting and crocheting. There were so many people that did this as a hobby that it's, like, hard to walk through it.
I'd like to get into crocheting, I think. That's like, an activity that's calling me this winter when things get bleak and dark. Yeah.
It's a good, cozy hobby.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't need it in the summer.
There's a lot of things I'm realizing I don't need in the summer. Uh-huh. I, like, realized how much time I was wasting, like, looking at, like, fuzzy pajamas on the internet this winter, and now I'm like, oh, I don't need any of them. Yeah. Queen Anne said, I just started to crochet and I haven't been able to figure out how much it will cost. Startup wasn't too bad. I bought a kit for $12 that came with 5 or 6 hooks and plus a few basic pieces of supplies and how-to guide. I bought a few skeins of yarns. Seems like you can go crazy on yarn dollars, yep. though. Yeah, that was one of the big ones. Nitwit said, despite their name, it cost them nothing to have knitting currently free as, quote, I'm knitting exclusively from a lovely stash of previously purchased yarn.
Yeah.
That was a big thing, building up stashes as you get into, like, knitting and crocheting and sewing as a hobby. Sewing, Nitwit said, excluding initial startup costs incurred in 2018, is averaging about $25 a month in supplies. I still have a stash. I acquired so much fabric when I lived in India because it's so high quality and so inexpensive there that I brought an entire suitcase back of fabric.
Nice.
Yeah, I literally spent forever, like, running around the market in my village and just buying fabric and, like, negotiating with everybody, like, a week before I left. And I, like, bought a suitcase just to bring home fabric.
Cool.
But I'm still working off that stash. And I lived in India in, like, 2008,
2009. Yeah, it does seem like a bunch of supplies would kind of leave you set for quite a while.
Yeah. Obviously, I have to buy, like, thread and notions, and then if I want to do a specific costume, sometimes I have to go get, like,
some specific
color.
Yeah.
I have a lot of glitter spandex.
I believe that.
Lilla Roll says, I've spent just under $700 the past 2 years, from 0 to 100 annually before that, on knitting. I'm now very out of space to store yarn, and I have to knit up my stash before I can buy any more, but I'm satisfied with my range of needles, etc. So I expect it will be a bit less this year.
See, that's a good one, because she just filled up and now she can't buy anything else for a minute. Crow says, crafting supplies average $113 per year, low of 15, high of 358. This is mostly yarn. By yarn, I mean old sweaters that I have to take apart for new to me yarn. Oh, that's I always forget that you can just take things apart and re-knit them.
Yeah. Yes. So Claire Dragonfly said, my spending has gone way down in the last few years, a combination of having a stricter budget and just not knitting as much. Also, the kind of fiber arts category, multiple people mentioned cosplay. Obviously, costumes are a big part of my budget, although now they're mostly business expenses for me because I use costumes for work. But the cost of making costumes, which was estimated at about $400 per costume, kind of overall of all the people that were doing it, but also the cost of traveling to cons, which can really range in price depending on where they are and what kind of con they are, as sort of a cosplay hobby. Meadowlark had a really interesting cosplay hobby, which is the Mardi Gras crew membership, which is $200 a year for their partner. Only one of us needs to be a member. And then costumes and ball gowns, of course. I spent about $125 this year. I don't know how you only spend $125 on a ball gown for Mardi Gras. I'll be able to wear this year's gown again, but probably not next year. Interesting.
Gardening's a hobby.
Yep. A lot of people mentioned this, but we only got numbers from one person.
Crow says, I average $300 per year on my yard/garden over the last 10 years. It's ranged from a low of 50 to a high of 600.
That's one of those things where it can cost as much as you want it.
Yeah, I don't know how big this person's lawn is either.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if it was like a big acre lawn, maybe it was all grass seed or something. New lawnmower.
Yeah.
I gotta mow my lawn. That's not a hobby. That's more of a
mowing your lawn.
Yeah.
Not a hobby. Falls under Will's not a hobby verdict. This is one that I have. Stationery and pens.
Uh-huh.
Claire Dragonfly said, fountain pens. This is a more recent hobby. I think I've spent $200 in the last 2 years. She also said that bullet journaling and notebooks in general, this doesn't feel like a hobby. It's just having a planner, which is part of me existing in the universe, but it doesn't fit in any other budget category. I would say stationery and planners is totally like a hobby for me in that like I spend a lot of time on it. I do a lot of unnecessary stuff. If you follow me on Instagram, you've probably seen my like elaborately decorated planner that is like way beyond the functionality of my planner. And I also bought about $70 worth of planner and stationery when I was in Japan because they have a lot of cool stuff there that I wasn't able to get in the States. They get an 8-story stationery supply store.
That's wild.
It was amazing. Every floor was devoted to just one type of thing. So there was the fountain pen floor, there was the washi paper floor, there was the washi tape floor, there was the planner floor. It was a whole it was amazing. There was a whole floor for stickers. So I actually put a lot of this in business expenses, but
it's
I average
business stickers. Yeah.
Business stickers, it's part of what's what I sell.
It's a thing.
But I spent about $100 a year on like stationery supplies and planners and stuff like that. Skincare and makeup. This was a big one. We ended up having a whole thread on it. We'll probably talk about it more. This can be really expensive. Makeup is really expensive, Will.
Yeah. And I think that's another thing that could or could not be a hobby, depending on context.
Yeah. Like some skincare is like maintenance, like wash your face, you know.
Uh-huh.
But I would also, I would describe myself as now into what I call skintainment, which is like skincare that's also kind of fun or cute or novel, like animal shaped face masks.
I would reconsider that portmanteau. It sounds like a portmanteau of skin and containment. Like your skin's like
skin-attainment?
Going everywhere. Skin-attainment? Skin-skintertainment?
Skintertainment? Ooh, I like skintertainment.
I don't know. We'll work on it.
So I spent about $130 a year on skincare, but when I was in Japan, I stocked up on a lot of stuff you can only get in Japan.
Well, yeah, because you were in Japan.
That's... I know, but I spent $250 on skincare.
Damn.
In Japan. I know. Well, you know, it's fine. I'm not going to have to buy anything for like the rest of the year.
Yeah. A lot of people mention their pets as a hobby, especially as they get more expensive as they aged. Vet bills added up, and the cost ranged from $20 a month for taking care of a kitty to $200 a month.
A lot of people mentioned fostering cats as a hobby.
That's cool.
Which is actually like technically free because usually the foster agency will like pay for their food and handle their vet bills and everything. But foster kittens take up a ton of time. So
Yep. Huh. That's a hobby.
It's okay. That fits the Will definition of a hobby.
Yeah. I like cats.
I would not describe my cat as a hobby, but that might be because she's not very expensive and she's also a cat, so she doesn't do very much. But I do spend a lot of time talking about my cat.
Yeah, hobby.
So is that a hobby?
Yeah, maybe. Borderline.
And like talking to her, trying to convince her that she needs to come to bed and hang out with me.
Yeah, borderline.
And kind of our last category was just learning. So learning was a big one in addition to like learning fitness-y hobbies that kind of are in the athletics category. A lot of people have classes. Cat Scratch on the forum says, I have learned over the years that my biggest hobby is learning something new. So I let myself spend $100 a year on something new that I'm not sure I'll like or stick with and evaluate after 6 months
That's
or
fun.
So. And limit to one new thing I can spend on. 1 year it was gardening. Another was making hard cider. Another paddleboarding rentals. Gardening stuck until last year, which was full of bike camping.
Nice.
Oh, I like that. Meowmalade on the forum said that my banjo was around $1,300 and I have a lesson approximately once a month, which is $60 for an hour. Speaking of which, my next lesson is in 1.5 weeks and I should practice. My piano cost an insane amount and I'm currently getting it tuned 3 to 4 times a year at $200 a pop.
Yikes. My piano was free. But I'm going to learn how to tune it, which maybe is a hobby because that's kind of an unnecessary thing that someone else could do.
Yeah. It's probably cheaper to hire someone else to tune your piano than it is to learn to tune it yourself.
Yeah. I've got a really good ear for intervals, though. I think it'll be satisfying. And then if I get good at tuning it, I can do weird prepared piano nonsense.
What is that?
You like put like a spoon in between a certain two strings and like coins on other strings and like you're kind of muting some. And the idea is it kind of makes this whole range of sounds and the pieces are all kind of gamelan inspired.
Weird. All right.
Weird cool. Percussive bell noises, well, atonal stuff.
If you learn that, we'll use it as our intro music episode. Okay.
That'll be a different one.
Is piano something you do a lot?
Yeah, piano's a hobby. I forgot about that one.
And it's free to you.
It's free. I'll spend, I don't know, 10 or 15 bucks every 4 or 5 months at Powell's on used sheet music. Mm. There's also like all the sheet music I'm interested in is free and an open source online. So I print out a lot too.
Yeah.
On the office printer, but don't tell anyone.
I like how it's going to be on the air, Will.
Yeah. I'm counting on those folks not listening. We'll see.
Yeah, I would say probably the only thing that we didn't like, which is kind of under the learning camp, kind of under electronics, but is that like I make YouTube videos, which doesn't, it helps my business overall. And like, I buy the equipment as a business expense because it's video equipment and stuff. But like, I definitely make a lot of videos that are not related to my business. And like maybe eventually if I ever become a wild YouTube celebrity will make me money, but for now it's like it's a hobby, right?
Yeah, I believe there's all those digital pictures you've been doing on Instagram.
Oh yeah, that I seems forget like a that hobby. Like I do photography too. It's just such a thing I've been doing for so long, but yes, that is also a hobby. Luckily I've had my camera for years, so yeah. But that is, I mean, photography is one of those hobbies where it's like, oh, it can get really expensive if you want it to be, but I'm not good enough at it to want to spend a bunch of money on really nice lenses and stuff. Although occasionally I do rent lenses. So if I want like a really, 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 really nice telephoto lens, I can like rent a lens instead of spending $10,000 on a lens, which is not going to happen.
No.
And, you know, I think the thing that I really liked was the description of Mountain Mustache said of that biking was their very favorite thing to do in the world. I think that really does a great job of like summing up why hobbies are important, and that like even though they do cost money, like making yourself happy with your money is really important. And there's also like a lot of ways to fill your time that can make you happy that don't cost a lot. Like we had a lot of really pricey hobbies in here, and we also had a lot of free hobbies. So, or hobbies that save you money, like biking.
Yeah.
So I thought that was really interesting.
Hobbies are cool.
We didn't even talk
about making beer. We'll do that next time.
Yeah, homebrewing used to be a hobby I did to save myself money, but then it also can get really expensive. So
I think we digress.
We did digress. Yeah, we've probably covered it enough that we shouldn't talk about it here. And I guess I'll report back if I keep figure skating. I think thus far I've spent like $160 on going back to skating.
Oh, and that's not awful.
Been back at it for 6 weeks, but I don't have a coach yet, which is what's really going to eat into it. But I've been putting off getting a coach, even though I need one, because they're pricey. Yep. Figure skating coaches are like $40 for half an hour. So,
well, that wraps our show for today. But keep on emailing us and posting in the forums about hobbies. We love hearing from you, so email us your financial worries, successes, and interesting hobbies at questions@ohmydollar, or tweet us at anomaly or @ohmydollar, or get at us at the Oh My Dollar forums. Our producer is Will Romy. Our intro music is by Aaron Parecki, and your host and personal finance educator has been Lillian Kerbake. Thank you for listening, and until next time, remember to manage your money so it doesn't manage you.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.